Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph, 6 lines down. The Gemara is trying to deal with the issue in the Mishnah, which is that the Mishnah told us that there are cases of Safek Kiddushin, and there are cases of Safek Gerushin. Why does the Mishnah not parallel the cases? That's the question. It gives an example of Safek Kiddushin, and it gives an example of Safek Gerushin. Why didn't the Mishnah use the same scenario that it uses by Kiddushin, which is Safek Karev Lo, Safek Karev La, by Kiddushin? Why don't they use the exact same thing by Gerushin? And that would have been the same Safek. So Rabba says that there's a difference. By the case of Gerushin, the Chazakah of this woman is to be Muteret Lashuk. This woman doesn't require anything. Since that is the Chazakah, we're not going to come Misafek and undermine that Chazakah. And that's why the case of Karov Lo, Karov La is not in the Mishnah, because the status quo and the chazaka is that this woman needs nothing. She's totally muteret, because she's a co-wife to an erva, and therefore she should be released without any issue. Now you have a safek, you want to ruin it, mitoshum safek. So Abayi says back to Rabba, well, that should be the same thing by the Kiddushin side of it. By the Kiddushin side, this woman is bechezkat, that she can marry the Yabam. Now misafek, you want to undermine that? So Rabbi said, no, that's the chumrah. The chumrah are not going to allow her to perform yibum. But on the other side, where we're just releasing her, there, it's not such a big deal. Abai goes, that's a chumrah de ati lidei kula. That's a chumrah that ends up being a kula, because people are going to think that the kiddushin is a good kiddushin based on what you are doing over here and not letting her perform yibum. Rabbi says, that's why I say she has to do chalitza and no yibum. Since she's doing chalitza, nobody will make that mistake. They'll realize it's the chumrah. So Abai says, do the same thing by Gerushin. Have her perform chalitza without yibum, and everybody will know it's just the chumrah. So Rabbi says, no, because we have a fear that if we say yes to chalitza, they'll make a mistake and perform yibum by Gerushin. And there, it's a problem, because the chazaka goes against that. So he says, oh, so Rabbi says back and say the same thing by Kiddushin. If we say she does chalitza, maybe there's a risk she'll do yibum. Rabbi says, okay, let her do yibum. The chazaka is in her favor in that way, and that's not such a big deal. So that's where we left off. And now we have a question from Abaye. Eteve Abaye. Nafala bayit alav, valbat achiv. So the house fell on him, valbat achiv, and on his niece. Ve'enu yodea izmehen meit rishon. We don't know which one of them passed away first, or was killed in this collapsed building, or whether it was an avalanche. And now he has another wife. He is married to this woman. And this woman is his niece. The niece is an erva to his brother, because obviously it's his daughter. So if his daughter is around, then there's no yibum anymore, because she's an erva, and her co-wife is released because she's tzarat ha-erva. On the other hand, if the order of the death was that his wife, his niece, died first, and then only then did he die, then that's a case where the other co-wife is not released, because the erva was taken out of the picture before the chi of yibum. Obviously, this Tana believes that mita mapelet, at the time of mita, is the determining factor. And so over here, who died first? If the Yabam died first, then the woman or the co-wife that was left behind is muteret l'shuk. She's released without any problem. If the niece died first, then this woman is chayevet in yibum. So tzaratach uletzet velo mitya b'emet. And over here we have the answer, which is perform chalitza. Amai, why would you say that? Hachanami neima isha zu b'chezkat heter l'shuk umeret. Until this point in time, this woman had a chazaka being muter l'shuk, because she was a co-wife to an erva. Umisafek ata balo osra. Why are you coming to make her asur mitzat safek? Al tasrenem isafek. This is exactly the statement that Rabba made vis-a-vis our Mishnah. Why the Mishnah didn't say karov lo, karov la. Safek can't take out of a chazaka. Why don't you say the same thing in this case? Av nafal abayit alav v'abat achiv. Yet there we say, no problem, do chalitza. And we don't say this, omeid b'chazakata. V'chitei mahachanami l'chumra. What are you going to say over here? God, we're just doing the chumra. Tell me to do chalitza l'chumra. Chumra da'ati l'dei kuluhu. That's a chumra that will end up being a kula. Shema ta'omer choletzet, mitya b'emet. Because if you allow chalitza to go through, you, Rabba said before, the risk of chalitza is that they might also perform yibum. And over here, performing yibum is against the chazakah. Gemara says, okay, Rabba says, I'll tell you what. Girushin de shchicha, because Rabu Rabbanan. When it comes to Girushin, which is a normal event, a normal course event, there the Chachamim were gozer, that we don't do anything in that case. When there's a Safek Girushin, we don't do anything. Now, it's an interesting Gazru Behu Rabbanan, because what would you have done? You would have performed Chalitza Misafek, which is also an institution, the Rabbanan, to do Chalitza just Misafek, because Midoraita, the Chazaka governs, and the Safek can't be Motz Midei Chazaka. The Chachamim say, come along and say, no, just do Chalitza to be sure. So now, what do you say? Gazru Behu Rabbanan. By Gerushin, the Chachamim were gozer, not to do the Gzeira Derabbanan. They were gozer, no do Chalitza, like we would in other cases, Derabbanan. So it's an interesting usage of the Lashon of Gazru Berabbanan. But Mapolet, the Lo Shichi, Lo Gazru Berabbanan. In a Mapolet where this is not a common occurrence, there the Chachamim allowed Chalitza, like in normal cases of Safek, to be utilized, because it's just such an unusual occurrence, people aren't going to say, oh, Chalitza will do Yibum, because the chance of two of these happening is almost impossible, and therefore you're not going to have anybody extrapolating from this. So if you can do Chalitza, we'll do Yibum, because it won't happen so often. By Gerushin, which is something that happens on a regular basis, then if someone sees Chalitza here, they might perform Yibum in another situation, and that we would worry about. Or, as most of the Rishonim, and Rashi and Tosafot keep emphasizing this, we focus on the Gzeira on the here and now. We don't worry necessarily about other situations, we're just worried about here. If we tell you can do Chalitza here, we're worried you're going to perform Yibum here. And therefore, that's the worry here by Gerushin, which is a common occurrence. By Mapolet, it's just not worth worrying about. Inami, it's an interesting distinction. Gerushin, dekaima, erva, dekamuchach, vitzarata, kamatzrachla, Chalitza. Over here by Gerushin, where the erva is still alive, and we require that the co-wife performs Chalitza, Amrei kamu be rabbanan begita, the gita ma'al yehu. They'll say that the rabbanan looked into the matter, and they came to the conclusion that the get was a good get. Va'ati liyubume. And then, va'ati liyubume the tzara. And then maybe people will allow the tzara, the co-wife, to perform yibum. Mapolet, mi kamu behu rabbanan be mapolet. What type of conclusion can the chachamim come about a mapolet? Meaning that a mapolet is a question in fact. It's a question if he died first or she died first. The Chachamim have no more insight than anybody else into whether he died first or she died first. And there's no way that the Chachamim could come to a conclusion with all the evidence that's here because nothing's changed. Therefore, when they perform Chalitza, everybody knows it's Misafek. By Gerushin, which is a matter of law, there people will conclude that the Chachamim figured out what the halacha is in this instance. It's not a question of fact. They'll think it's a question of halacha. And therefore, they can be determinant in that manner. And they'll assume that if you ask for Chalitza, it means they really thought it was a good get. They concluded it was a good get. And then people are going to perform Yibum instead of Chalitza. So that's a way to distinguish between the case of Mapolet and the case of Gerushin. Either one is Shchiach, one is not Shchiach. The Chachamim worried about the Shchiach case and said no Chalitza. But Mapolet, but it's not Shchiach, they said go ahead, do Chalitza. It's just not going to cause a lot of trouble. Or the nature of the case is different. By get, where there's a safek in halacha, there people might conclude that the Chachamim knew what the halacha was in the end. They figured it out. By the case of Mapolet was a safek in facts, the Chachamim aren't going to be able to figure it out any more than what we have now, or any better than anyone else. So now the Gemara says, wait, Begabi Gerushin Milotnan. Okay, you're telling me by Gerushin that we don't do Chalitza in this case of safek karov la, safek karov lo. Don't we have a Mishnah? Vatznan, hayta umedet birshut harabim. They were standing, she was standing birshut harabim. Zarkula, and he threw her a get. Karovla, migureshet. If it's closer to her, she is divorced. Karovlo, eno migureshet. If it's closer to him, she is not divorced. Again, here with eight amot, mitzumtzamot between them, and the four amot of an individual are kone in birshut harabim. So if it's in her four amot, she's kone, and the get goes through. If it's closer to him, then there's no get. Mechsa, mechsa, migureshet, ve'ena migureshet. If it's in the middle, then she's kind of divorced or not divorced. You have a safek over here. Varmina on the mayhilchata. What is halachic nafkamino about a safek of a get? Di kohen hu, asurale. Number one is, if there's a kohen out there, he won't be able to marry her because she's now a safek grusha. Vi ervahi, Tzarata b'yechalitza. And the other nafkamina is, if she was a co-wife with another woman, and she was the erva, now we have a safeg about a gerushin. Now the co-wife will require chalitza, because we're not sure if the erva is in the picture anymore for Yibum. V'lo amrinan, and there we don't say, shimata omer choletzet mityabemet. How come we don't bring up Rabba's concern that if you say you do chalitza, they might come to do Yibum, which is against the chazakah. The chazakah was heter l'shuk, and now you're going to perform Yibum, that's really a problem. Maha itmar Allah. On that we said, Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'amri tarvayu, hocha b'shtei kitei ayidim maskinan. Over there, that Mishnah is talking about a case where we have two sets of witnesses. Achat omeret karov la, achat omeret karov lo. One of the sets of witnesses says that it was closer to him, and one says that it was closer to her. So we have a machloket in the edim. Davale speka de oraita. There, it's a safek de oraita, because you have two kitei edim going up against each other. Umatnitan de hocha, but our mission over here is bekat achat. It's with one set of edim, davale speka de rabbanon. That's only a safek de rabbanon. So there, where you have two sets of edim, the chazakah is ruined because you have two sets of full-fledged edim that are now arguing about what is the status. Once they do that, they've undermined the chazakah, and now we're no longer dealing with the chazakah, we're dealing with arguing edim. Over there, they have a safek. Over here in our Mishnah, you're dealing with one kat edim. The way Rashi reads it is, you have one aid saying it was karov lo, and one aid saying it's karov la. Not that they're a single unit that is testifying, but rather, there are two edim, one testifying on each side, versus the case where you have four edim, two on each side. So that's how Rashi explains it over here. It's one aid and one aid. Others explain it, which reads probably better into the Lashon, is that in our case, there's one set of edim and they don't know. They're also uncertain as to what happened over here. They're the ones saying we don't know whether it was closer to him or closer to her. So in the case of our Mishnah, you're dealing with a speka de rabbanon. That won't undermine the chazakah that is the oraita. Whereas in the case in Gitin, the Mishnah that we brought, that Mishnah is talking about a case of safek d'oraita, one kat of edim against another kat of edim, and we're now undermining the chazakah. Over there, we're going to perform chalitza because the chazakah is no longer an issue anymore. We're really dealing in the world of safek. How do you know, Rabbo, that our Mishnah is talking about kat achat? So domia de kiddushin, because it's similar to kiddushin. There are parallel cases here, kiddushin and gerushin. And my kiddushin bekat achat, I've gerushin bekat achat. Because just like by kiddushin, it was one set of edim, so to over here by gerushin, it's one kat of edim. V'kiddushim gufayu mimayit bekat achat. How do you know that by kiddushim we're only talking about one set of edim? Dilma bebet kete edim. Maybe it's talking about two sets of edim in our Mishnah as well with the kiddushin. How do you know that the kiddushin is one kat? Okay, very nice. You say the gerushin is just like the kiddushin. But how do you know the kiddushin itself is only talking about one kat of edim here in the safek? Now, the next part of the Gemara is very difficult. The way our Gemara reads is the girsa that Rashi put in the Gemara. There was an alternate girsa in all the Sfarim, and Rashi overwrote it because of the problems. He has a question at the bottom, which will explain his question. There are actually three different interpretations of this Gemara. I'll read it first according to Rashi, the way that Rashi reads it, and then we'll go back and look at the other possibilities of reading it. So the way Rashi reads it now is, this is Rabba's answer. Rabba's answer is, Ibe bet kete idim, tityabim veim bakach chum. If there are really two sets of edim over here by the edei kiddushim, then let her get married. Let her have perform yibum over here. If there were two sets of edim, then why are we saying do chalitza and don't do yibum? They should do yibum when there are two sets of edim here. So now Abaye poses a question against Rabba on that. Kaime edim, vikamre karovla. You have edim here saying that it was karov la. I mean, there's one set of edim that's saying it's karov la. Vatamar titya beim veim bakach chum. And you're saying, what? Go ahead and perform yibum over here. The chazaka is that she was muteret le yibum. So, what are you saying here? That two kate edim and she'll go ahead and perform yibum. I don't understand your position. You have two full-fledged edim over here and you're saying, go ahead and perform yibum? That doesn't make so much sense. Vitu. And another question on your shita in general. Not here in this, but a shita in general. Wait a minute. When you have two katei edim, you said before that two katei edim undermines the chazaka d'oraita. That's not even true. Tuke Deidim results in a Sfeika Derabbanan. You have one against one, and one set of Eidim against another set of Eidim. Now you're left in the world of Safek. That Safek is again a Sfeika Derabbanan. There is, if they're canceled, Midoraita. It's as if they don't exist, Midoraita. The fact that the Rabbanan say, oh, now we're B'Safek, that's a rabbinic institution. Right? The Amrei Uke Trei, the Bahadi Trei, you put the two against two. Visha Ukma B'Chazaka. And then you put the woman back into her Chazaka. And if that's the case, by the case of Geirushin, she should have a Chezkat Heter L'Shuk. And why are you performing Chalitza over here? You will explain the whole thing here is because the Chazaka is gone. Because you have two against two. I don't see a Chazaka being gone. I just see we're in the same scenario we were before. Before you had a Chazaka, now you also have a Chazaka. Now you have two against two. The two against two cancel each other and the Chazaka is still there. I don't understand your whole premise. Mida, dahava nichse de barshatya. Very similar to the case of the possessions of Barshatya. The Barshatya zavin nichse. He sold his property. Atu beitrei v'amri kashu chalim zavin. That he was healthy. He was of sound mind when he sold it. Atu beitrei v'amri kashu shoteh zavin. He had lost his mind and he sold it when he was not of sound mind. V'amar Ravashi. And Ravashi says, uki trei l'hadi trei. You could put the two against the two. V'ara ukma b'cheskar Barshatya. And the land stays where it is, which is Chazaka. The Chazaka was that was his beforehand, and the Chazaka remains. So you see here that when you have two against two, that doesn't undermine a Chazaka d'oraita. They negate each other, and the Chazaka remains in place. That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. Now, according to Rashi, it's very difficult, because Rava's first answer is a little bit strange about, oh, if it was with two kitei edim, then titya bein vein bekachum. What was Rava saying? And then on top of that, the Abaye's questions are a little bit strange because Abaye is challenging from both sides. He's saying in one case, what do you mean? You have Karov Law, which is saying that it's really a problem. And how could you say Titya Baim? And then he says afterwards, no, two against two and it's nothing and the Chazaka stays. His two questions on Rabba are almost mutually exclusive. But that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara, and the key word that Rashi changes is the word vitu, or nami. In other Gemaras, the word was not nami, but rather vidilma. And the way that the other Rishonim read the Gemara is that Rabba's statement continues all the way to the word dilma, and the word dilma is Abaye's question. So that's the way they read it, and there are different ways to read it. We'll first read it according to the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim say this. How do you know our Mishnah is talking about one kat edim? So he says, because Rabba says, Ibe bet kite edim, titya beim, veim bekach plum. How could you say when there are two edim that you can go ahead and say to her, titya beim, veim bekach plum? Because, kaime edim, vikamri karov la, you have one set of edim saying that it's karov la, vatamar titya beim, veim bekach plum. How could you say that? Now, the two is the beginning of Abaye's question. So what Rabba just did was said, I'll prove to you that the Mishnah is talking about one kat edim, because if it's talking about two kitei edim, then the Mishnah, in the case of Kiddushin, we said before that why does she perform chalitza? Because even if the people make a mistake and say, well, chalitza means she can perform yibum, all right, so what? So she performs yibum. What's the big deal? Her chazaka is that she needs to perform yibum. That was the chazaka, so what's the big deal? So Rabba says, how could you make such a statement that what's the big deal if she performs yibum when you have two against two? Two against two makes it that you've just undermined the chazaka. If you undermine the chazaka, how could you just say, al titubayim ba'im b'kach chlum? Then Abaye comes and answers, v'dilma b'shtei kitei edim, nam esfeke d'ra'abonani. Damri uke trei d'badi trei. Abaye says, how do you know that two against two makes it that you undermine the chazaka d'oraita? Maybe two against two only generates a sfeke d'ra'abonan, and therefore wouldn't undermine it. And that's the question of Abaye. Why Rashi rejected this understanding of the Gemara is because Rabba brings a proof to his position from himself. Before, the person who said earlier in the Gemara that why do you perform chalitza by Kiddushin is Rabba. And he says, Abaye asked them, well, if you perform chalitza, maybe you'll perform Yibum. Rabba says, okay, let them perform Yibum. Why? Because the chazaka is that she is muteret liyabam, because there was Safek Kiddushin is trying to take that away. So okay, if she does Yibum, the chazaka supports that. But that was Rabba's statement. So Rabba now comes and brings a proof. You know how I know the Mishnah says that Kiddushin is one set of Edim? Because if it's two sets of Edim, how could anyone say, oh, if she does Chalitza, it might come to Yibum. All right, so it comes to Yibum. Well, no big deal if it comes to Yibum. The Chazaka is there. He said, how could you say that if there were two sets of Edim? But who said that? He was the one who said it. So Rabbah is bringing a proof to his position here from himself, from a statement that he had made. So that's why Rashi rejected it. It's in the last line of Rashi. That's why Rashi rejected the Girsaot that were in the Gemara and the explanations in the Gemara. And he changed the word Vidilma to Vitu or to Nami. And that's how he said that the whole first statement was Rabbah's answer, and then the next two statements were Abaye's question. The way that everybody else reads it is enter the word two in our Gemara, which is really Vidilma in the other Gemaras, that's Rabbah's answer. And then only then does Abaye's question enter. Rashi didn't like that because Rabbah in that answer is basically bringing a proof to himself from himself. Now, there are Rishonim like the Rashba want to say that it's Muchach from the Lashon of the Bright of Mapolit, that it's that way, and from other cases that it's Muchrach that way, and therefore Rabbah's statement is not such a far-fetched statement, because it's supported by the Lishanot in the Bright and in the Mishnah. Right? That's how the Rashba solves it. There's a last way to read it, which is Tosafot's way to read it, which is about why is it that we require Chalitza by two sets of Edim. Rabbah suggests that when you have two sets of Edim, one against the other, there, you have a problem d'oraita that is undermining the chazakah. Therefore, when you have one kat of edim, the rabbonon were mitakein that she does chalitza there as well, because of the case where it might be a problem d'oraita. So if you think two sets of edim is a problem d'oraita, then by one set of edim, where goes there midrabbanan, that she should perform chalitza, and that's our Mishnah. And that's what Rabbah's saying over here. The reason the Mishnah, she has to perform chalitza, is because that's a rabbinic institution, because by two against two, that's a din d'oraita. Along comes Abaye and says, what are you talking about? Maybe the reason we require chalitza by two against two is because it's only a safek d'rabbanan, and the safek d'rabbanan requires chalitza. But if that's the case, when you have only one set of edim, there would be no need for chalitza at all, because that would be a gzera to a gzera. And that's the question of Abaye. So that's the way Tosfot reads it, that the answer of Rabbah is, if 2x2 is a din d'oraita and undermines the chazaka, like we saw by Gerushin, then by one set of edim, where goes there chalitza. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Can't be talking about a problem d'oraita, because then the chazaka would be gone. It's a problem d'rabbanan. Abaye comes back to him and says, how do you know that 2 against 2 is a problem d'oraita, that where goes there by one kat of edim to do chalitza midrabbanan? Maybe the 2 against 2 is also only a problem d'rabbanan. If that's the case, you wouldn't be goes there by one set of edim, and your whole answer goes away. That's the way Tosfot reads it, and that's the Vidilma. So you have three different ways to read this Gemara. So according to Rashi and the other Rishonim, the Gemara is inconclusive at this point in time. Whereas according to Tosafot, it seems to lean against Rabbah, the explanation in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to move on and says, El Amar Abaye. Abaye is going to present his solution to the problem in the Mishnah, which is Yagid Alav Reo. Which is, your friend tells the information. Tana bi kiddushin, vu adina gerushin. The case in the Mishnah gives an example by kiddushin, and the same would be true by gerushin. And tana bi gerushin, and then it gives examples by gerushin, vu adina kiddushin. The reason it gave different cases is to show you that there are a multiplicity of cases. It's not to say this to the exclusion of that, or this to the exclusion of that. What's true by kiddushin will also be true by gerushin. What's true by gerushin will be true by Kiddushin. Amale Rova. Now Rova jumps into the picture. Rova is also a Talmid of Rabbah, a peer of Abaye. Says, I agreed alav reo, my zehu diktani. I don't understand. If you're saying to me that the case is in the Mishnah, you can extrapolate one from the other. You can say, oh, if it's true by Kiddushin, it's true by Girushin, Girushin is true by Kiddushin. At the end of each section of the Mishnah, it says, zehu safek Kiddushin. And at the end of the Girushin piece, it says, zehu safek Girushin. Zehu implies that this is the case of Gerushin and nothing else. This is the case of Kiddushin and nothing else. That's a miut, the word Zehu. Then why do those words appear there? Why does the word Zehu appear? So, Ma'u Zehu Diktani. El Omer Rova. Rova says this is the answer. Kosh yesh b'kiddushin, yesh b'girushin. You are right about this, that anything that is true by Kiddushin applies by Gerushin. B'yesh b'girushin, ma'she ain b'kiddushin. But that is not true by Gerushin. The cases by Gerushin are not true by Kiddushin. V'zehu de Gerushin lav davka. And therefore the Zehu by Gerushin is lav davka. The Zehu by Kiddushin is Zehu. This is the case of Safek Kiddushin, but you cannot use the cases of Gerushin over there. That's the case of Safek Kiddushin. Whereas by the cases of Gerushin, the cases of Kiddushin would also apply. And therefore the Zehu by Gerushin is not davka. It's just there to keep parallel structure in the Mishnah. El Mishum Datanu Zeu Bikidushin. Since it wrote Zeu Bikidushin, which is Dafka, because Kidushin you can't use the cases of Gerushin. Tananami Zeu Bikirushin, even though by Gerushin you could have said the same case of Savik Korovla, Savik Korovlo, in the latter half of the Mishnah. They are similar only in one direction. The cases of Kiddushin can apply to Gerushin. But the cases of Gerushin do not apply to Kiddushin. That's what the Gemara asks your question now. Okay, so then, by Kiddushin, what cases by Gerushin don't apply to Kiddushin? What things that you mentioned in the latter half of the Mishnah that only apply to Gerushin and don't apply to Kiddushin? Because you said that Zeu by Kiddushin means only Safek Korovlo, Safek Korovlo is the case, not the other cases. It says, the Mutei Zman, Deleka by Kiddushin. There is no date by Kiddushin. So there is dating by a get. A get needs a date on it. If it doesn't have a date on it, it becomes a problematic get or a safek get, like in the latter half of the Mishnah. In Kiddushin, if you didn't have a date on the shtar Kiddushin, that would not make it into a safek. That would not be posel, the shtar Kiddushin. So he says, Hanifcha the mandamer mishum perei. I understand why you would not extrapolate or you would not need dating by Kiddushin like you need by Gerushin. Why do you need a date on the get? So there's one person who says, the reason you need a date on a get is to know when the husband no longer has rights to the peirot of the nichsei melug of his wife. The nichsei melug of his wife, he's entitled to the products of the nichsei melug, the fruits of the nichsei melug, as long as he's married to her. As soon as he looks to divorce her, once you date the get, that stops his rights, and he no longer has rights to her payroll. So I understand if that's the reason by get you need a date, then I understand why by Kiddushin you don't need it, because Arusa late le peri. You only get the payroll of Nichsei Melug once you have Nisuin, not when you're in Arusa. Because the payroll of Nichsei Melug are a quid pro quo for the fact that the husband will pirkona, redeem her if she's taken into captivity. It's part of the Tnaye HaKetubah. And it's Ne'ak Tubar that if she's taken into captivity, he will redeem her. And because of that, he gets the Peirot of Nichsei Melug. That's the trade-off here. And therefore, that only comes true when the Ketuba goes into effect at the Nisuin. So therefore, at Kiddushin, the dating doesn't make a difference because Peirot are not relevant at that time. Elamanda Mar Mishum Bat Achoto, the one who says that the reason we date the get is because of this problem that he might be covering up for an extramarital affair by his niece, Litakin Zman. Then over here by Kiddushin, you should say the same thing. By a get, why do we force you to put a date in there? Because what will happen is he's married to his niece, and his niece goes ahead and is Mizaneh. It doesn't have to be his niece, it could be any relative that we're talking about here. She goes out as Mizaneh. And because he loves her, he doesn't want her to be killed. So he knows that she had an extramarital affair. So what does he do? He takes a get, and he doesn't put any date on it. So he'll say, she was divorced already. It wasn't an extramarital affair. She's not chayevet mita. So we force him to put a date in there so they can't fool around with the get and say, now he could predate the get. That would be a problem, and that would make the get pasul. But we're assuming that they're so fair, and everybody here, they're putting dates in the get. Nobody can claim she was already divorced when the incident happened. So the same thing should be true by Kiddushin. Changing the date on the Kiddushin will have an impact on whether this woman is a Naram Ruasa or she's a Pnuya. And you could argue the same thing by Kiddushin, that you should have to have a date in there, because otherwise he might post-date the Kiddushin or say that the Kiddushin took place at a much later time and she was Mizana when she was a Pnuya, not when she was married. So you have the same worry by Kiddushin as by Gerushin. Mar says, Mishum de'ika de'mekadesh b'kaspo, de'ika de'mekadesh b'shtaro. So, since by Kiddushin, there are two ways to perform Kiddushin. There's Kiddushin Kesef, and there's Kiddushin Shtar. Lo Tikun Rabbanon Zman. Rabbanon didn't put Zman in there because you have different options. And it's not relevant. By Kiddushin Kesef, there's no relevance to the dating of the Shtar Kiddushin. There is no Shtar Kiddushin. Samalei Ravacha, Breder of Yosef, Ravashi, Va Abdo, Dika Kani Bekasva, Vika Bishtaro. How about an Eved? By an Eved, there's some people who purchase an Eved with money, and some who purchase him through a shtar. And nevertheless, v'tigun rabbanan zman, over there the Chachamim insisted that you put a date in the shtar. So Rashi over here claims this is a shtar kinyan, like it says in the Gemara, the Pashtuta Gemara. This is a shtar kinyan that he's buying an Evet. And we want to know when does he take over all the property of the Evet. So the date is important to know when he owns everything that the Evet owns. That's what's going on here. Tosafot, you can see the Kasha the Re, and they don't think that that's the case. They think that we're talking about a shtar shichrur. We're talking about a document of freedom over here. And the case is not, even though it says Dekani, which makes it sound like a Shtar Kinyan, like Rashi, they, oh, it's Koneh, that's most, it's a Shtar Shichror. But we're talking about a document of freedom. So sometimes he can buy his way to freedom using money, or he can do it through getting a Shtar from the Adom that he's been freed. So there, the Rabbaner Metakin Zman, where it says, Hotam Ruba Bishtaro. By either, according to Rashi, the Kinyan and Eved, or according to Tosafot, the freeing of an Eved, the majority of Abadim are dealt with through Shtarot. Hacha Ruba Bekaspa. By marriage, the majority is money. So we're going to go after the majority. If the majority of cases are a Shtar, then we're going to force you to put a date in the Shtar, because that's the majority of how these transactions are consummated. On the other hand, by Kiddushin, where the majority of the transactions are about Kesef, dating is not really relevant. Dating, because there's no date by Kaspa. Ibai Deima, Mishum Dolo Efshar. The problem is that it won't work. Hechili Abed. What are you going to do? Lincha Gabi Dido. If you have the Shtar Kiddushin with a date on it, and you're going to leave it with the woman, Machakale. She'll go and erase the date, and that will protect her. By erasing the date, she can say she wasn't married when she had the extramarital affair. Lincha Gabi Dide. So then leave it with him. Zimin Debatachoto, he Mechapela. We'll have that same problem of she might be a relative of his and he might want to protect her and erase the date. Lincha Gabi Edim. So what are you going to do? Leave it with the Edim. So that'd be a safe. You put it with a third party, so now it's safe. Ida Zechire. If they remember the date of the Kiddushim, Leito Lisot, they should come and testify. Ilo. If they don't remember the date, Zimna Dechazu Michtova Vatu Masade. The problem is, they'll look in the Shtar Kiddushim.
Okay,
oh, I remember now what the date was because I looked at the Shtar Kiddushim. Rachman Amar Bihem below me pik tavam. That it doesn't work. You can't testify out of a document. You have to testify out of memory. And by looking in there, they say, oh, that'll trigger their memory, but it's really because they're seeing in the document. That's why they remember it. It's like showing someone a picture and they say, oh yeah, I remember the way it looked. I was there. It looked like that. But it's because they saw the picture that causes them to do that. This does raise the more general question as how do shtarot work in halacha? Now, it's really a subject of the Gemarot in Ketubot and in Gittin, but just to note, there is a machloket rishonim as to how shtarot work based on the fact here that you have to have mipi aidim velo mipi aktav. So the way Rashi, the Balamor, and others learn is that the shtar is not the equivalent of eidut, but rather it's the equivalent of hodat baldin. It's as if one of the parties here, by signing to this shtar or acknowledging the shtar, is admitting to his obligations under the shtar. And that's how the shtar works. Doesn't work because of eidut, works because of the participation of the Baal Edin in the shtar. The Ramban says that the way the shtar works is because when the Edim sign it, and we have statements like this in the Gemara, it's ki'ilu nechgar edututam. It's as if their eidut has already been checked in Beit Din, and the shtar takes on the powers as if this testimony was already given in Beit Din, and it's the equivalent of oral testimony in Beit Din. So the Edim on the shtar give the shtar a power as if it was brought to Beit Din, been checked out with Beit Din, and had oral testimony in Beit Din. And as opposed to the Ramban, who strengthens the power of the shtar, the Rambam goes in the opposite direction and says it's all a takanat chachamim, that shtarot work. It's just to facilitate the ability to do business, and it's all midrabanan. Because midoraita, you can only have it in pi ha'edim and not mi pi aktav. The Chachamim instituted that shtarot would have some sort of tokeh in order to facilitate the ability to do business. So the Gemara says, Yochi b'gerushin nami. Name, hachir. Why don't you say the same thing by gerushin? We say we date the gitin. How come by dating the gitin, that's alright? So say the same thing. So the Gemara says, hotam hatlat saladi da ka'ati, hocha l'chovadi da ka'ati. So the way Rashi learns it over here is, here, in the case of the Kiddushin, the Zman in the Kiddushin, or the date in the Kiddushin, is to her detriment. If Tikkun LaRabbanan Zman, if the Chamei went ahead and said, you have to put a date in there, Vizinta, and she was Zona, Kavshale L'Shtara, Omachakale, she'll either tear up the Shtar of Kiddushin, or she'll erase it. And then she'll be Bechezkat Pnuya. On the other hand, by the case of the get is her protection, because her being divorced is what allows her to get out. So then, over there, you're not going to erase it, because if Edim come and testify that she's Zinta, If she doesn't show up at the shtar, she's not divorced. She's going to be an Eish Yidish. So if there was no date in there, she should go just hide the get. And we would say, misafek, we can't kill her. But once there's a date in the shtar, she can't hide the get because she needs the get to get at her. She wants the get, and she'll therefore bring the get out. And we won't say, oh, maybe it's a safek, because she'll say, look, I don't know where the shtar get is. I can't find it. But here, once there's a date in it, we're going to insist that she brings out the get. That's the way Rashi learns it. Others learn it that in the case of erasing the date, she might, by erasing the date, ruin the shtar. Because the Beitin's going to see that she erased the date, and it ruins the shtar. So in the case of get, if she erases the date and they invalidate the shtar, that's to her detriment, because she needs the get to be freed. So she may be unwilling to mess with the get, because if she really messes with it, she'll cause herself even more problems, because she won't have a get at all. On the other hand, by the shtar kiddushin, if she erases the date, she's taking a risk that is a good risk, because she'll say, if they say that, okay, they buy the new date, or they say there was no date, then fine. If they invalidate the document, she was a penuya, she's not married, it helps her out. So there, she has an incentive to erase it by the kiddushin, because she has no risk in erasing it. Either they won't believe her, and they'll invalidate the document, or they will believe her, and it'll be the date that she wants. So in that case, she has a lot of reason to mess around with the shtar kiddushin. By the shtar get, it's very risky for her to mess around with it, because if they invalidate the document, then she's in even bigger trouble. So that's one of two ways to learn it, and that's why there's a difference between dating the document of a get versus the dating of a document of kiddushin. By the get, it's important for the reasons that we stated above, either mishum pere or mishum mechapa bat choto. They were less worried about her messing around with it because it's her document to freedom, in a sense. It's her way to get out of the problem, and therefore, either going to Rashi, she has to show up with it, or according to the other Rishonim, she won't mess with it because if it gets ruined, then she's in really big trouble. Whereas by shtar kiddushin, first of all, it's not the normal way that people perform kiddushin. On top of that, we have the possibility that they will mess around with the dating on it. And over there, she's incentivized to mess around with the dating because the shtar is to her detriment in that case, which is it makes her married and not a pnuya. Right now, Gimel Achim Nisuin Gimel Nachriot. You have three brothers that are married to three women who have no relationship to each other. The truth is, it could have been two brothers married to two women, and the third one was panui, that he wasn't married at all. Umeit echad mehem, one of the brothers that is married passes away. V'asa basheni mamar, and the second brother performs mamar. So Reuven passes away. Shimon performs mamar with the wife of Reuven. Umeit, and then he passes away. So now, these two women are coming to Levi. One is the real wife of Shimon. The other one is the wife of Reuven, who was quasi-married to Shimon through the Ma'amar. Harei elu cholzot v'lo mityabmot. You have to form chalitza, no yibum. Shinamar, because it says in the pasuk, umeit echad mehem, yivama yavo aleha. If one of them dies, then the yivama will come. Shaleha zikat yabam echad. The one who has a connection to one yabam can perform yibum. V'lo shaleha zikat beit yivamim. But not someone who has a connection to two Yibamim. Here she's connected both to Reuven and to Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Miyabim Lezu Shiyotze V'choletz L'Shnia. He can marry either one of them, and then he has to perform Chalitza with the other one. This is Rabbi Shimon L'Shitato that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that Rabbi Shimon believes that Mamar is a Safek. Safek whether it's Kone L'Gamre, or Safek that it's nothing. It's not like it's this in-between stage like the Chachamim say. It's either everything or nothing. So in that case, she's either completely married to Shimon, or she's still Reuven's wife. Either way, it's mutar for him to perform Yibum with either of the two women. Because if they're co-wives, then he can choose which one of them to perform the Yibum with of Shimon's wives. If she's still the wife of Reuven, then he can perform the Yibum with her as the wife of Reuven, or the other wife of Shimon. The other one will require Chalitza, because we're uncertain as to whether they're co-wives or still the wife of Reuven, because that's the Safek over here. But the safek allows you to perform yibum with the one of them and then perform chalitza with the other. And that's Rabbi Shimon l'shitato, which is either, it's 100% or zero a mamar. There's nothing in the middle. Chachamim clearly see it as being this middle state that leaves her in this limbo state of being partially married to Reuven, partially married to Shimon. So Gemara says, "Is zikat bet yivamim de'oraita? If the zikat bet yivamim is de'oraita, chalitza nami lo tibai, then she shouldn't require chalitza at all. Because here you have a posuk that's telling you when you have two zikot, then you have to do nothing. So the pasuk's telling you you have to do nothing, then you really don't have to do anything. There's no yibum over here. She should be released without any problem.
Both.
At least she should be released without any problem. Maybe even her co-wife, but for her, for sure, she should be released without any problem, because she doesn't come into the world of yibum. Maybe her co-wife still has an issue of yibum. Ela midrabanan, it is only a din derabanan. V'gzeira, shemer yomru, bet yivamot, habot, b'vayt achad, mityab mot. The problem is that there's a risk that people will think here, Shimon had two wives, because he performed Ma'amar, it looks like he has two wives. And people are going to say now that when you have two wives, you can perform Yibum with both of them. So where it says, V'niyabim l'chada v'nechlots l'chada. Just make the gzeira that you perform Yibum with one of them, and perform Chalitza with the other. Because then it'll be clear that you can't marry both of them. Where it says, Gzeira shem yomru bayit echad miksato banoi u'miksato chalutz. No, that's a problem, because then people will come to think that you can have, with a single house, two co-wives, when they were fully married to Shimon, you can perform Yibum with one of them and Chalitza with the other, that you're allowed to do both things. So Mar says, Diyomru, what's the big deal? Okay, what bad could come out of that? Mar says, Idu bi'abim v'chadar chalitz, if they perform Yibum first, and then do Chalitza, hochanami, you're right, there would be no trouble. If they do the Yibum first and then Chalitza, then Yibum's done, and the Chalitza was meaningless. So what's the big deal? But, Elegzeira Dilma Chalitz Beresha V'Hadar Miyabein. The problem is, if they do Chalitza first, then you have a problem, De Oraita, that he can't perform Yibum afterwards, V'Kamle Basher Lo Yivneh. The Pasuk says that if he doesn't build it, Rachman Amar, Kevin Shelo Banah Shub Lo Yivneh. If you didn't do it, then you can't go ahead and build. Once you've done Chalitza with one woman, then everybody else becomes an Eshet Ach. Yeshlo banim, it's an eshet ach, meaning do right, though you have a problem of erva with the other woman. If he forms yibum with her, it's a chiyuv karet. So that's a serious issue, and that's why there's zero over here. Amarova, natan get lema'amaro. If he gave a get for his ma'amaro, and as Rashi explains over here, he gave a get not in general. If you give a get in general, it causes all sorts of problems, the same problems that ma'amar causes. But here, he performed ma'amar, and then he gave a get to remove just the ma'amar, not the zika, but simply the ma'amar. Hutra tzarata.
Is there such a
thing? If you state it, if you just say, I'm giving the get to undo the ma'amar, that works if you state it that way. So now, natan get the ma'amaro, hutra tzarata. Her co-wife now is muteret. Avalhi asura. She, we're not going to let you, even though technically she's in the same boat as her co-wife, because the michlefa bevalad get. Because you're going to mix that up with the balad get and normal balad get. When you give a get, normally it undermines the ma'amar and the zika. In that case, you're not allowed to marry her, and that would be a much more serious problem. So therefore, we allow you to marry the co-wife or to perform even with the co-wife, because all you've done is perform ma'amar and undone ma'amar. That doesn't change the status of these women vis-a-vis Yibum. For her, we won't let you deal with her, because she looks like a balad get, a normal balad get. But otherwise, we'll let you deal with her. Igadamri amarava. Natan get the ma'amaro, hutra afiluhi. Rava says that if you even get just for the ma'amar, she is even released. My taima, my da'avad ba, shakle. Whatever he did with her, he just took her back. He did the ma'amar, now he took the ma'amar back. But then she's still a regular yavama, who now has a possibility of yibum or chalitza. So you can even perform it with her. Now, all of this, again, is where he specifies that it only removes the ma'amar. The default is that it removes both the ma'amar and the zika, unless stated otherwise. But if he gives a normal get and removes the zika, then it becomes a problem of basher lo yivneh, lo banah shuv lo yivneh. If you already took away the zika, and you've now started to remove or perform chalitza, the beginning of chalitza, then you can't go afterwards and perform yibum. So normal case of get, it causes you problems. But here, where the get is directed at the ma'amar, that might be able to unwind it. And as Tosafot says over here, none of this is halacha, because the chatchila, we won't let you do this. The chatchila, we won't let you give a get to undo ma'amar, because what's our fear? Because the chatchila ain't la sokein the gazrina get the ma'amaro, atu get the zikato. Because if he gives a get for the ma'amar, we're afraid he'll also give the get for the zika, and then it'll be a problem. Bidavka bidiavad kamar hocha. Rava's statement is all bidiavad if he did it. Tehutra afiluhi. That if bidyabad he gave the get just for the ma'amar, we're going to say it's working. The two lekel amigzer behind ma'amar atu shar ma'amarot. Because we're not going to be gozer on this ma'amar for other ma'amarot outside of this case. Da'amad lo gazrina, de lo shchichei kulei hai. That's not such a common case. That's what I said to you before. That Rashi and Tosfot keep saying that when it's in this case itself, we go there. If you're allowed to do chalitza, they'll do yibum in this case. We're not worried about other cases. We're worried about this case itself. Not worried about extrapolating. Same thing over here. We won't let you give a get lechatchila to unwind mamar in this case, because maybe you'll give a get that'll unwind everything and cause a much bigger problem. But once you've given the get to unwind the mamar, then we're not going to worry and say, okay, well, we don't do anything because other people might learn from this, because it's specific to this case, and we'll say, b'diavad, it works to undo the mamar, and you can perform yibum both with her and with her tzara, because the zika is still there.
If you give the get to undo the mamar and the zika,
yeah,
would he be able to be miyabe?
No, then that's the problem. The problem is if you give a get and it unwinds the mamar and the zika, the get knocks out the zika, which brings her into the world of once you haven't built, then you can't continue to build. It gets unwinding the zika. Partially. It doesn't fully unwind it. You still need chalitza to remove her. It is derabanan. You're right. It's only derabanan. The get weakens the zika to the point where we say, well, this is like half chalitza. A get is like half chalitza. Okay. Since it's half chalitza, okay, we're not going to let you perform yibum after that. Okay. So if it's a regular get that's weakening the zika, we're not going to let you do anything. Here, where the get is specified for the mamar, the zika still exists fully.
And therefore
he's open. He just basically takes it back to the status quo beforehand. Status quo was chalitza or yibum. He performed mamar, he unwound mamar. All he did was do something, remove it, and he's back to square one, which was yibum or chalitza.
He'd still be able to be miyabim.
According to the two lashonot. According to the first lashon, he'll miyabim her co-wife, not her. And the second lashon, even her, he can miyabim because he took it back to the status quo. But in the default get, where it removes both the mamar and the zika, that's already halfway to chalitza, and then we're going to say you're under the rubric of kasher lo bana, shuv lo yivneh, and you have to finish off the chalitza. We won't let you perform yibum in that case. Okay, we're stopping by the Mishnah on top of Lamed Bet Amud Aleph.